Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, we're going to get ready. Let's dig in. Today, we are going to be talking about something that is so important, and I think we cannot miss the fact that God cares about your heart probably the most of anything. What's going on inside of your heart? What you've allowed to slip into your heart. God is concerned about our hearts. Last week, Pastor Paula kicked off a new message series called Heart Posture. And if you were here, the title of that message was Sweet Fruit or Stinky Poop, all right? And now, got to leave it to Pastor Paula. That's what she's going to be known for, I, you know. But this week, she said something to me, and I go, that is totally stinky poop coming out of your mouth. So I got to use that honor. If you missed it and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, go online and listen to it. But it's talking about the importance of what comes out of our mouth. Guys, there's a reality. You can hide your true heart from people around you, but God knows what's going on. He sees what's in your heart. He sees what you're allowing to grow in your heart. And I want to tell you something. You might go, oh man, I'm a Christian. I've been saved for a long time. My heart is fine. Don't ever get into that posture. Because the heart posture says, God, I'm always going to be on guard for what the enemy is trying to slip into my heart. I'm always going to be on guard when things come along because, listen, I really think it's like a seed. We've talked about your heart being a garden and the importance of letting God cultivate that and what we allow to grow in our heart. The enemy's always trying to send seeds along like bitterness to grow into your heart, like unforgiveness to grow into your heart, like not trusting God to grow into your heart. Today, I want to challenge you. Look, let God come in and tell you what's happening in your heart. Let him examine it. Why is this so important? And why does God care so much about your heart? Proverbs 4:23 tells us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guys, listen to that for just a moment. If you are off course, it means that you probably need to have a little bit of heart time with God. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The NIV says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What comes out of your mouth, your thought process is, what is, and I'll tell you how you know what's happening in your heart is when you get pushed, what comes out? When you're driving down on 62 on Crater Lake Boulevard at 340 in White City and somebody cuts you off, what comes out of your heart? That's why we don't do Hope City bumper stickers. All right? Say the word everything. Everything you do flows from your heart. Your actions, your words, your thought life, everything flows from your heart. That's the indication what comes out of your mouth, your thought process, your actions. That's the indication of what's going on inside of your heart. What is flowing out of your heart? To guard your heart means to carefully examine what is being allowed in your heart, what you're allowing to grow in your heart. It means taking a regular look at what's coming out of your mouth and your actions. It means looking at your thought life, the lies that you might be believing about your situation or others around you. Remember, Proverbs says everything you do flows from your heart. What is flowing out of your life right now? What kind of heart posture do you have? And that's the whole title of this sermon series because it's so important for us to take a regular look at what's going on in our heart. What does a heart posture mean? The posture of your heart refers to the internal state or orientation of your being, encompassing your thoughts, your desires, and your motivation toward God and others. And I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord, don't ever buy into this idea, oh, I'm good. My heart's good. Oh, I don't need to take time to evaluate. No, the longer you've been serving the Lord, the more you need to evaluate your heart and don't fall into the trap because the enemy can get you believing that you're okay when you're far away from God. Well, I go to church. Well, I do this and I do that. It is not about what you do. It's about what God is doing in your heart. Having the right heart. It's about the way your heart is aligned and positioned rather than just your outward actions. You know what? The Bible, Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but they were empty on the inside. And I believe that we as Christians, we can walk around empty on the inside, looking good on the outside, if we're not careful. A proper heart posture, listen to this, a proper heart posture involves humility, obedience, and a focus on God's will and love. The kind of heart posture God is asking us to have will go completely against the heart posture of this world. If you are getting along well in this world and you're like, man, I got everything covered, you better be careful because you're going to look completely different than the world around you. That's why you're going to love well. That's why you don't have to be stressed when things go upside down. If you're just like the world and there's no difference, then what is God saying in all of this? He's saying we got to be different. We have to have a different kind of outlook. We got to respond different. Offense has to go. Don't walk around getting offended every time you turn around. Well, I'm offended at this, and I'm offended at that, and I'm just going to be I'm going to be mean and rude. I'm offended. The world lives offended. There's no room for offense for a believer. Forgiveness is where it has to be. Forgiveness is where we have to go with this thing. It means our heart lines up with how the scripture defines the right heart. How many of you got your Bibles with you? Hold them up. At Hope City, I'm telling you right now, you got to have a physical Bible. It's so important to have it, and I love having everyone with their word today. And I want you to be careful. I was on social media this week, and I saw this Facebook thing where they had an AI like preacher, and he was preaching, and it was so off base. We got to know what this word says. You got to be in it. You got to know what it says. You got to know what God is saying to us today. You can't afford to be deceived. If your heart is aligned with the things of this world, I can promise you that's not the kind of heart that Jesus is asking for. Pastor Paula talked about the power of our words last Sunday. The power of life and death is what comes out of your mouth. You know, the enemy doesn't know what you're thinking until you speak it out. So some of you, with what is coming out of your mouth, you're giving him the ammo to keep attacking you, and you wonder why the attacks get worse and worse, because he's winning, and he doesn't get to win. Don't give him that. Close your mouth. Well, I have a right to free speech. No, you have a right to responsibility, and stop speaking out death over your situation. Stop opening up your checkbook and going, oh, I'm never going to have enough. I can't afford to give. I can't. Stop opening up your bank account and going, oh, I'm never going to have enough. Because if you keep going, you won't ever have enough. How about we start saying, I serve Jehovah Jireh, who provides everything I need. I serve and I'm following his. I'm in his protection. I don't have to worry about it anymore. What comes out of your mouth, it literally, you can kill relationships, you can kill the people around you. What is coming out of your mouth? Listen, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Think about that just for a minute. Your words determine what you, or your heart determines what comes out of your mouth. Friends, there's a lot of people that have a hard time trusting God. And it comes out every time you start talking about your situation. Life and death. And guess what? That Bible scripture says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and you will eat the fruit of your words. Stop speaking death over your situation. Stop speaking death upon the relationships that are in your life. Stop speaking death about your job. Oh, I hate this job. Oh, I can't believe it. Monday morning, I have to get up. What if God called you there and that's your missions field? Stop cursing that job and start walking in what God has called you to do. Those people at work just drive me nuts. You probably drive them nuts, so it's a fair thing. Start loving on those people. Start taking time to not get in their drama, but start ministering to them. You will eat its fruit. Some of you are eating the fruit of what you've spoken over your life, and it's not very fun. Every word matters. Every word. There's not one word. And we live in a society where words are thrown out like it's no big deal. We live in a society now where people are being murdered because of the words that people have said. The two people from Israel that got killed just this last week. The rhetoric has got to stop in our country. Our words matter. Your words matter. Here's what I know. A whole heart is a healed heart. A hurting and broken heart will affect what flows out of your life. That's why hurting people hurt people. A hurting heart can turn into a bitter heart just like this. And I want to tell you, bitterness kills. It literally will suck the life out of you. Bitterness will kill you. Well, I just can't forgive that person. I want to tell you, you're drinking the poison expecting the other person to die. You've got to forgive. There's nothing that can be so difficult than forgiving. And if you need help with that, ask the Lord to help you. A bitter heart is characterized by resentment, unforgiveness, anger. It can have significant negative consequences impacting both the individual and the relationship. You wonder why you live with broken relationships everywhere you go? How about you start turning in and saying, God, maybe it's because I've got bitterness. Maybe because it's me holding on to unforgiveness. Woo, it's so quiet in here. I want to tell you, though, this is what brings you freedom. This is what steps you out. Stop being the victim and start being the victor. You know what? We live in a world today where everybody's the victim. You are not a victim. You're a victor. And the only way we stop from being a victim is to get healed up. Bitterness can lead to emotional distress, spiritual stagnation, and even physical health problems. And bitterness can come into your life at any point. And it's done when you don't forgive. Overcoming bitterness through forgiveness and reconciliation is crucial for personal well-being and healthy relationships. The best way to break off bitterness in your heart is to forgive quickly and to not allow offense to take root in your life. And here's the thing. Some of us were so good at pulling the leaves off that ugly plant of bitterness that we leave the root. Jesus wants to get in and pull that root out, not just the symptoms. Well, I'm this way because my family's this way. Stop making excuses for you holding on to wrong heart postures. Well, that's just who I am. Well, maybe God wants to change you. How many of you ever had Jesus tell you something that you didn't like? How about this? How about it when it seems like Jesus is ignoring you and ignoring your prayers? How about then? Anybody been there before? And I hear people, well, I'm just mad at God. Well, it's not going to get you anywhere. God doesn't answer me. He's ignoring me. Or he didn't answer the way that I like, and now I'm going to be mad. How you respond is a good indication of what's happening in your heart. There's times when God answers your prayers in ways that seem unfair or hard. It can be challenging. There are times when you pray for somebody to live and they die. By the way, we need to be praying for a family who just lost a 15-year-old to an aneurysm. I think it was Friday night. Yesterday. In fact, we need to pray for them right now. Jesus, right now, I pray for this family. God, who lost a 15-year-old from an aneurysm yesterday. They live in Applegate. Lord, I pray for that mom. God, I pray for that whole family. Lord, that you would just reach down and you would touch them. Lord God, we can't even fathom. He had an aneurysm in his sleep. Jesus, we just pray right now that you touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep them on your prayer list, guys, okay? How you respond to God is a heart issue. It's not God's issue. It's yours. Don't be mad at him. In fact, if you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at the enemy because he's trying to still kill and destroy your life. What's the posture of your heart when God asks you to do something hard? Or he calls you out and he says, listen, that's a wrong spirit that you're allowing in your heart. Or when you pray and God answers that prayer different than what you expected. It's easy to have a right heart when you're getting all you want. When you're in control, and God, that's exactly how I had it planned out. But what about when God turns that upside down and says, listen, I have a different plan, and it's better. Are you going to come along with me? All the control freaks in the room are shaking right now. Our God will test our faith. He's going to take us through discipline. There's times that we need to be disciplined. We need Jesus to come and go, this is not right, and it needs to go. And don't act like the rest of Americans. You can't tell me what to do. I'm an American. He can't tell me what to do. I have rights. In the kingdom, you better listen to the king. Listen, Hebrews 12, 6 through 7. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. That sounds like real fun, doesn't it? As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Sounds like fun. We have a generation that aren't disciplined by their fathers. We can see what happens to kids. How do we respond in these moments? Remember, our first response is always your heart response. Listen to that. Your first response is always your heart response. Right? And then we try to go back and take it back and, oh, I didn't mean to be that way. No, your first response is, so that's how you know what's happening in your heart. Today, our portion of scripture gives us a picture of what it looks like to have a right heart. Are you ready? This is some of the most mind-boggling scripture. I've been wrestling with it all week because it seems so out of character for Jesus to respond in the way he responds. Are you guys ready? I mean, like, this is so interesting. We get brought into a conversation where Jesus was talking to a woman from Canaan that truthfully is a little uncomfortable. Okay? I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of study on this, and I dug into what a lot of theologians said might have been happening here, and I want to explain it to you. Okay? Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And if you've come to Hope City, you know we go scripture by scripture. So this is next in our scripture. Are you ready for this? I didn't hear much. Everybody's quiet. Okay, here we go. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with some of all this begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and she worshiped him, pleading, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. If Jesus would have been around today, this probably would have gone viral. Religious leader of the day tells some woman that she can only have scraps off the table. And then before that, he ignored her. Could you imagine? People would have been so offended. This was a racial issue. Remember, Jewish people looked down on the Gentiles as less than. This woman could have been so offended. This woman could have said, "Forget you. Why am I even at?" Like, think about what would happen if somebody said that to you today. "Oh, nobody's going to talk to me that way." Especially Jesus. She was ignoring, Jesus was ignoring her in her time of need. When Jesus did speak, it seemed harsh and uncompassionate. None of this changed the woman's heart and her faith. She approached Jesus with a heart of faith, and nothing was going to stop her from asking and receiving what Jesus had for her. What could have possibly been going on in this scripture? You always have to dig deeper. You can't just read through it and take it. You have to figure out what's happening, what the context was, what Jesus might have been thinking and what he was, because that's not how we talk to people who were in need. So what could have possibly been happening here? I want to walk you through this passage of scripture today and unpack what was happening. We're going to do it pretty quick. I believe this. Jesus was actually calling the disciples out in this portion of scripture. He was actually calling them out for not having the right heart towards this woman, and showcasing this woman's faith and persistence and what a humble heart she had. So here's a couple points that you need to know. First of all, point number one, Jesus specifically withdrew to meet this Canaanite woman. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 21, then Jesus left Galilee, went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This was not just a vacation where Jesus was like, "Oh, I think I'll just go anywhere," and he pulled out a map and he put his finger there. This was strategic. Tyre and Sidon were both prominent cities that were Canaanite cities. Okay, here's the problem. Jesus and the Jewish people viewed Gentiles and Canaanites as less than. So they would never go to those cities. There'd be no way they would ever go to those cities because they viewed them as less than. And at first look, this might have seemed random, but Jesus was getting away to take a rest, and he chose these two cities randomly. There was nothing random about this, though. Jesus was on a strategic assignment. He knew these cities were Canaanite cities, and I believe that he knew he was going to encounter this woman. The disciples were about to get a very important lesson on what it looked like to have a right heart towards people, no matter where that person comes from or the needs that they are carrying. If your life is a hot mess, Jesus loves you and he's here for you. You're in good company. The issue was the disciples who looked at this woman. And friends, as believers, as people who are Christians, don't ever look down on somebody else and say, well, how could they deserve salvation? Do you know what they've done? No, that finger needs to go back to you because it's not a right heart. How about we say, God, thank you that I found you first, and now I get to step in and help this other person find you, Lord, because everybody is deserving of his grace and his love. Point number two, how the disciples responded to this woman showed their hearts. This was the issue. When you first read this portion of scripture, it's shocking to see how Jesus responded to this woman. It's totally outside of his character and how we would think that Jesus would respond to somebody in need. The only time you see Jesus respond like this in scripture is to the religious people of the day, which tells me Jesus was looking at the disciples and he said, don't be religious. You're not better than she is. The woman came to Jesus and she pleaded with him to heal her demon-possessed daughter, and Jesus didn't answer her. The Bible says that Jesus didn't say a word. Was Jesus ignoring her? I don't think he was. He was waiting for the disciples to respond because it was at that moment, I believe, he wanted to teach the disciples a lesson. He knew what was going on in their hearts. So Jesus sat there and waited for them to respond. And guess how they responded? A little ways down. Matthew 15:23, they said this, tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all of her begging. All of a sudden, do their hearts get shown in a big way? Although it was possible that the disciples had shunned the woman because of her annoying cries, you might also assume that they disdained her gender, her status as a Gentile, and her demon-possessed daughter. Women had little standing in society, and they needed men to serve as their intermediates in legal and spiritual matters. This was the kind of heart that they were, the kind of eyes they were looking at this woman under. Since she was a Gentile, the Jews saw that her not only is unsaved, but unworthy of salvation, while they viewed themselves as worthy. Talk about religious. We are all saved by grace. We're all in need of a Savior. Finally, the Jews assumed that her calamity in life, such as a demon-possessed child, was a divine punishment for individual sin, as opposed to corporate culpability. If these beliefs were among the reasons for shunning the Canaanite woman, they reflect an egregiously self-righteousness on the part of the disciples that were present. And there's a very true reality that's exactly how they were viewing this woman. It was clear how the disciples saw the woman. She was a Gentile, she was beneath them, and she was begging. Jesus went on to say to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Why would Jesus respond to a person in need like this? And I think, again, Jesus is voicing what the disciples wrestled with. And in fact, they wrestled with this idea of ministering to the Gentiles up until Acts 14. This woman is not worth it. The Gentiles were way above them. This idea of racial, it was unbelievable. The Jews would have assumed that the woman is unacceptable to the Lord because of her Gentile heritage, and Jesus was about to turn that assumption upside down. There is no one below us. We must be careful to value and love everyone. Whenever God brings somebody into your path that's different than you, your job is to love them. Whenever somebody hurts you, your job is to forgive them, not hold on to it. And guys, that's hard sometimes because that hurt goes deep. Pastor Jason, you don't know what that person did to me. It doesn't matter how deep it goes. Ask the Lord to help you to forgive. You aren't better than anyone else because you're saved or because the choices somebody else has made. We are just blessed to find Jesus first, and thankfully the Holy Spirit has helped us to make the right path. To have the right heart and the right posture, you have to love everyone. Say that word again, everyone. Even the ones you don't like, you're called to love them. We're called to reach everyone. We're called to leave this building, and tomorrow morning when we go to work, we're called to love those people who are most unlovable. Pastor, you don't understand. They're so difficult. Good, love them even better. Help them. Walk them through what God is trying to do in their life. I believe that that was the message that Jesus is trying to share with his disciples in this experience. Point number three, the woman's faith was great because her heart was in the right spot. The woman in this story was humble, but she was also very assertive. When she said, "Have mercy on me," the word in the Greek was more of a command. She was assertive because she believed Jesus would heal her daughter and cast out her demons. How many mama bears do we have in the room? When you know your kids are hurt, when you know your kids are being hurt, what do? Mama bears. I think this mama was coming and saying, "Jesus, I need you. My daughter is completely afflicted by demons." She was assertive because her daughter needed Jesus. And I think this was a test for the woman as well as a test for the disciples. Jesus wanted to know if this woman truly believed that Jesus could heal her daughter and set her free. Some of us wonder why we ask God maybe multiple times for something and it seems like he's not working on it. It's because he's saying, "Do you really believe I can?" Don't ask God to do something you don't believe he can do. "Well, I think God might be able to do this." "Well, I don't know." Many people would have gotten offended and mad at Jesus. "Jesus is ignoring me. And then he answers me in that way I don't like. I'm offended. I'm mad at God." Friends, that's the wrong heart and the wrong posture. How about we get a little persistent and we say, "God, I'm not giving up until you answer. God, I'm okay with what you say. I trust you." Because I think the biggest issues of our hearts become bitterness and then trusting God. And my question to you is, do you truly trust God to get you through these moments? Like, truly, is all your trust in him? There are people in this room right now that you feel like God is ignoring you or he doesn't want to talk to you. And I want to challenge you in the next couple of weeks, get alone and start to listen. Because God always wants to talk to you. For some, it might be that God talked to you a long time ago and you were never obedient and he's waiting for you to be obedient. Let him talk to you. Stop letting that offense keep you from hearing from God. Or maybe you don't like the answer God's given you. "Well, God, I just don't like that answer." Well, too bad. Because he knows what's best for you. He sees what you can't see. So how about we take these answers and say, "God, I'm content with the answers you're giving me. God, I'm okay with what you're telling me. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow up. I'm going to stop fighting you. Stop kicking against the goads." That woman didn't come up to him and say, "Jesus, who do you think you're talking to? I don't like the answer you just gave me. Who do you think?" No, she had the right heart. There are people in this room right now who are desperate for an answer. So is the woman. Her daughter was demon possessed. You might go, "God, I'm desperate." If you feel like God's ignoring you or you don't like the answer that God's given you, don't keep up and don't give up. Keep going after him. Listen to how the woman responded. Matthew 15, 25 through 28. This, "But she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, 'Lord, help me.' Jesus responded, 'It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs.' And she replied, 'That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fell beneath their master's table.' 'Dear woman,' Jesus said, 'your faith is great. Your request is granted,' and your daughter was instantly healed." Notice one of the key things that the woman did when she didn't get the answer she was hoping for, when she felt like Jesus might be ignoring her, what she did is she worshiped. So some of us, if we're feeling that way, go home, turn on your Spotify, get the best Forrest Frank playlist, and start worshiping him. Whenever you feel like you're being ignored or God is not answering you or you are struggling with the answer, worship him. Get alone and worship him. And no one has any excuse, because you can't say today, well, I don't have any worship CDs. Just get on Spotify or Apple and you had as much worship as you ever wanted. If you love hymns, they have hymns galore there. The woman then pleaded with Jesus. And I don't think she was begging. We are not beggars as believers. Do you know that? We come from a position of a child to say, God, you're my father. And Lord, I need help. I need help to understand what's going on here. She was also happy with whatever Jesus would give her. You know who it reminds me of? It reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood who couldn't get up to Jesus. Remember that? She'd been struggling. And she was content to just touch the corner of his hem. Stop looking at what Jesus gives you and telling him that it's not enough. God, I know you're going to give me what I need. There are times that God's going to test your faith and belief in him. Do you really believe that Jesus can do what you're asking him to do? Or are you going to get mad and run away from Jesus? Are you going to dig in and worship him and get as close as you can? Or are you going to fall away? The woman's faith amazed Jesus. Read the last portion of scripture. Dear woman. And if you look at scripture there and you look into the Greek, this was compassionate when he said, dear woman, or oh woman. He said that to his mom. Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Jesus responded with compassion to this woman. I believe all along, here's what I believe. All along, Jesus could see, that woman could see the compassion in Jesus' eyes, even when she was getting a different answer than what she hoped for. Because Jesus loves you no matter what he walks you through. Jesus cared. The woman responded with the right heart and the right heart posture. I want you to notice one other thing. Jesus not only cast the demons out of her daughter, he also healed her. If you look, that's an important aspect. Jesus not only wants to cast those spirits that are bothering you, but he also wants to heal you. Jesus healed her spiritually and physically. And I want to finish out this last portion of scripture and then we're done. Matthew 15, 29 through 31. After all of this, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee, climbed a hill and sat down. So there's this moment, like this brief like interlude where Jesus took care of this woman and he spoke to the disciples and then he came back. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak and many others. They laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. Say the word all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking, and the blind could see again, and they praised God, the God of Israel. All were healed. That's amazing faith. It's amazing to see what God can do when you have the right heart and you place your trust and belief in Jesus completely.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.